Need to tell you up front this morning, to be honest with you, this is a backwards message. And so I will preach like this the entire time. This is kind of new. You haven't, I haven't done anything like this before. Well, not a good idea. This is backwards though, and that the sermon, or and that the scripture is going to come at the end of the sermon. So this message is going to lead up and be climactic into God's message, God's word. And we will end the message this morning with one of the grandest chapters of the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40. Leading up to the scripture passage, we'll simply talk about our weakness. And then, how do we deal with weakness? And then, what captures our attention as we seek to deal with weakness? So let's begin. Number one, you are weak. And have a nice day. Not a very upbeat way to start a message here, but the fact of the matter is, we are weak. We don't like to consider our weakness very much. We'd rather focus on the strength. And as I look at some of you, you kind of look strong. Some of you are looking kind of buff this morning. I had a friend in college. Well, I had a lot of friends who were stronger than me. But one particular friend in college, he lived in the room next door to me. He was tall, muscular, solid. On the soccer field, he was a beast. There were rumors that when he was playing soccer, when people from the other team would come up to him, they would like run into him and then they would fall over. I mean, the guy was strong, made his presence known. Well, one day, a young woman gave him the let's just be friends talk. He came back to his dorm room and with his strength punched a hole in the door. I'm talking industrial strength dormitory door. There is a hole. However, if you looked closer, you would have seen some weakness, some hurt in his heart, underneath all of the muscle. We like to project strength. Now, some of us like to create a certain image for ourselves, so we come across a certain way to people. We may not really be that way truly on the inside, but we have an image. And so some people define themselves on their with their possessions, and others see their possessions and think certain things about those people. I mean, it's kind of obvious. There are certain cars out there that have image, you know, attitude. Some people like to define themselves simply by how they look and their clothes, the way they do their hair. Many people like to project an image of strength through their personality or simply how they act. I teach in a school. I mean, it's obvious. I mean, students, when they're honest, they'll say, I've got my home me and my school me. And a lot of times, they're very different. Some of us can have the real us and then the at-church super-Christian us. Yes? Some, here's the real me, and at work, you know, to fit in, this is the way I act. The problem, of course, is sure, image can affect other people's perception of us, but it does nothing to help our weakness. It's just a front. We still have our weakness. Some people like to control every single little event and every single person around them. But that can only last for so long, of course. Something's going to come along, upset the balance, and the weakness is exposed. You know, I had this next thing planned for the message, and then I heard about the funeral here yesterday. I think you're probably the same with me on this. Whenever I attend a funeral, I feel weak. The frailty of life on earth really hits home with me. And no matter who you are, powerful in this world or just kind of average, really wealthy, very poor. We're on the same playing field with human frailty, and we are weak. So the question is, how do you deal with your weakness? How do you deal with it? Well, we're in this nice church building, so let me just tell you the correct answer. Have faith. Hope in the Lord. Very good, let's all go home now. No. Have faith in God. Easier said than done. In fact, no problem for us to say those words, but to live them out, that's another story. You know, I tell my wife I love her. I should do this. Yay. However, if I don't back up those words with action, she's going to be like, hello, your words are hollow. Show me some action. If I told you I eat healthy, and then during this break time, you saw me eat a dozen cookies out there. Whoa, what's going on? Actions speak louder than words. And so my question then is, how do your actions, or what do your actions say about what you believe in? So as you look at your life, what do those actions say? Well, truly, what you put your hope in. When life is unpredictable, when life seems out of control, when you are stressed and stretched, when you're by yourself and no one's looking, what do those actions say about what you believe? Now, human solutions to weaknesses, this is fine, of course. I am very happy for doctors and medical technology. I am very thankful for the relationships that I have in my life, the people that I can talk to and share with about difficulties and joys that I'm going through. I am thankful for psychology and new scientific studies. But human solutions to human weakness can only go so far. Sometimes human solutions are very hurtful and damaging, like addictions. But when we think about the big questions of life, how did I get here? What's the purpose of my life? Where am I headed in life, both now and for eternity? Those big questions, well, those big questions cannot be simply answered by human solutions. We need something more. And yet so often we can easily gravitate toward the human solution as the final answer. Why? Well, we can control it. It feels good. God is unseen. This is difficult. My friends, faith and hope in God is the true answer to the profound human weakness, to these big questions that you and I deal with. Easier said than done. So how do we put actions to our words? Of course, we could say a lot of things about that, but I would like to answer that question this way. How do we grow in faith and live that out in our lives? Be more attentive to Almighty God. Be more attentive to Almighty God. What captures your attention? The way God has designed us is that what we focus our minds on affects how we live. For instance, I teach 10th graders, among some other grades, and at the end of every semester, at the end of that class, I assign a paper called The Sacred Journey. And students write about their lives and they answer a number of spiritual questions. Now, these papers are written in confidence. I tell the students only my eyes see them. I write a response and give these papers right back to them. Well, about 8 or 9 years ago, I had two girls that I remember. They were in separate classes, even separate grades. Their papers they wrote were very thoughtful, and they were well written. And in the paper, they talked about how they just did not believe God exists. "I am an atheist," they wrote. Now, they mentioned some benefits of the church, but at the end of the day, no, I don't believe this. Well, it just so happened that I was aware of some of the music that these two girls listened to. The music was incredibly dark and anti-God. Now, I am making an assumption here because I didn't ask them this question, but I am assuming that they spent lots of time with their attention focused on this music. You know, studies say that some kids listen to music for hours a day. Well, it just makes sense that they believed God didn't exist. Why? Because this is what they set their minds on. So it just follows that they're going to struggle with this whole existence of God thing. What we focus on informs our faith. Now, of course, we are attentive to many things in life, right? We give our attention to all sorts of things. God created life this way. We focus on this and this. There's so many things that we do in life. You know, this afternoon, maybe some of you will give a little attention to a little sporting event. I don't know. Maybe some of you don't care about the sporting event, but you'll give attention to the commercials. No, this is fine. But as we're honest with our lives, we need to think about what captivates our attention. And when we're honest with that, there's many people that have good intentions to grow in faith, but sports truly captivates their attention. That's what feeds their soul. And then they say, "Oh, I'm struggling in faith. I want to grow more, and it's not happening." Well, the reason is, where is your heart attention directed to? We could list so many other things, you know, a focus, heart focus on image. And this takes us away from growing in faith. So simply, friends, to put faith into action and not just say it, it is simply to give God more attention. First point of application you're already doing. You're here. This is good. But then as you go throughout your day and your week, so important that you set aside time of focused attention on Jesus Christ, so that when you go through your day, it is more easy to be aware of God's presence and to focus your attention on Him, whatever you are doing. I invite you in just a moment to focus your attention on God's Word. The chapter is Isaiah 40, and it is a chapter that soars with God's greatness, but it's also a chapter that comes close. Now, don't open your Bibles. I see some of you doing this. I have two reasons. One is, I would rather you just focus on these words as they are spoken. So find a look up here or close your eyes. That's fine. Just don't fall asleep, but close your eyes. I'm going to be speaking these words from a translation that is an updated version of the NIV. So it'll be a little off from the Pew Bible. And so I just want you to focus on God's Word here for a moment. And I want to tell you that as you focus, humbly set your heart upon God's Word, I believe that when you leave this room this morning, you will have grown in faith. I say that with complete confidence because I'm talking about the Word of God. For those of you in this room this morning who doubt, and there are some of you, I simply ask that you hear these words with an open mind and an open heart. For those of you here today that are keenly aware of weakness in your life, may these words bathe your heart, soothe your soul, and heal your emotions. For those of you who would say, yes, I'm committed to Jesus, but when you get real, you're ashamed with how you're living, may Isaiah 40 give you renewed motivation to seek first the kingdom of God. And for those of you who are earnestly seeking after the things of God, may you grow deeper still. My friends, the Bible rings true. It has the pulse of hope and the promise of eternity. May you sense God's presence as you hear God's word. Isaiah chapter 40. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all human faithfulness, like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. And you who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance. Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as His counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten Him? And who taught Him the right way? Who was it that taught Him knowledge or showed Him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before Him, all nations are as nothing. They are regarded by Him as worthless and less than nothing. With whom then will you compare God? To what image will you liken Him? As for an idol, a metal worker casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. People too poor to present such an offering select wood that will not rot. They look for a skilled worker to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than He blows on them and they wither. And a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls each of them by name. Because of His great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by my God. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Christ Community Church, this is the word of the Lord. Let's stand. Almighty God, we thank You for Your power. We thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your majesty. We thank You for Your grace. We thank you that you rule the heavens. We thank you that you are Lord of our lives. And now take our lips, our words, our song. May they honor you. May they worship you. Take our lives and our actions. And may they honor you. And may they worship you. Amen.